oligarchy toured Kenosha, Wisconsin last night.
For years, I have been talking about how America has been moving toward an oligarchy. Well, we're no longer moving toward that oligarchy. Today, we are living in that oligarchy, and we say no.
Cryptocurrency, that was the focus yesterday as President Trump hosted the first ever White House summit celebrating establishment of the cryptocurrency strategic reserve.
Last year, I promised to make America the Bitcoin superpower of the world and the crypto capital of the planet, and we're taking historic action to deliver on that promise. From this day on, America will follow the rule that every Bitcoin knows very well, never sell your Bitcoin. That's a little phrase that they have. I don't know if that's right or not. Who the hell knows, right?
The opening deposit of Bitcoin into the strategic reserve is worth an estimated $17 billion. The funds were seized from court proceedings. A deadly police-involved shooting in Newark, New Jersey. CBS New York reporter John Diaz has details.
People gathered right outside an elementary school moments after the tragedy when Newark Police Union says two officers were shot during a shootout, sources say, with a teenager. Both officers were then rushed to University Hospital, but authorities say one of them died.
We have reports the teenage suspect also died. Investigators have released more details about the deaths of actor Gene Hackman and his wife. CBS's Carter Evans reports.
They saw that she'd been emailing with people on the morning of February 11th. They saw that she got home at around 5 o'clock in the afternoon, but then all communication from her ceased. So they believe that she succumbed to the hantavirus sometime around February 11th. Gene Hackman, what they're looking to for his time of death is his pacemaker. It showed activity as late as February 18th, suggesting that he was alive for a full week after his wife died. Now, the big question is, what transpired during that week? And the question is unanswered at this point.
Their bodies were found in separate locations in their home on February 26th. South Carolina has carried out the first execution by firing squad in the U.S. in 15 years. CBS's Meg Oliver reports.
Behind a century-old electric chair, 67-year-old Brad Sigmund was strapped down, hidden behind a wall. 15 feet away, three corrections employees fired live rounds at him through a small rectangular hole, a method he chose instead of lethal injection or the electric chair.
This is CBS News.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Get the savings you want on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/choice55 and start saving today.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
New research shows when states have these bans in place, it hurts their economy. Mike Moen reports.
The Institute for Women's Policy Research is out with a new study that includes survey data from 10,000 adults. The authors say one in five respondents planning to have children has moved or know someone who has to another state because of reproductive care restrictions in their current location. The Institute's Melissa Mahoney says it shows banned states will likely see some of their workforce talent flow elsewhere.
The labor markets in states that protect abortion tend to be more welcoming for women with higher wages, greater access to health insurance, also a stronger labor force participation.
These findings mirror results from a similar study issued earlier this year by the National Bureau of Economic Research. Mahoney says their research indicates it isn't just a problem for state policymakers. She notes that businesses should also be worried about a talent drain, with survey respondents wanting them to prioritize care access.
Many, in addition, are asking more of their employers in terms of reproductive health care benefits, in terms of speaking out against abortion restrictions in their states.
According to the findings, 57% of respondents say they're more likely to apply for or accept a job with reproductive health care benefits as part of the offer. And in South Dakota, 65% of adults think employers should provide financial assistance for child care.
That's Mike Moen reporting, and I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
Yeah. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, a few flurries, then some sunshine. It'll be windy with a high around 46 degrees. Mostly clear tonight, a low of 27. Sunshine, 50 for Sunday. 61 and sunshine on Monday. Mostly sunny, mid-40s on Tuesday.
Right now, it's 19.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin actor Dan Davies. And then we talk a little fantasy baseball with WGBW's own Peter Van Doren. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for tuning in to this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. First off, we're going to take a listen to the beginning of Tuesday's show, where Todd covers Elon Musk's recent involvement in Wisconsin politics. You heard that right. The richest man in the world is trying to put his thumb on the scale of justice in our state.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our chief engineer producer of the show. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, February 18th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison. Sunny skies, blue skies above, but boy, howdy. It is chilly out there, and not something to necessarily even joke around about. Some cold weather warnings are out for much of the state. I know people in northern and western parts of Wisconsin, many school districts today called off classes simply because, number one, of course, partly because, you know, cars and buses don't always start when it's 30 below zero. But I think more importantly, a lot of young kids are at bus stops and this sort of thing. And boy, you get down to 30 below, you're outside more than 10 or 15 minutes. You could freeze or get real serious frostbite. And so out of health concerns for kids, many school districts in northern and western Wisconsin closed schools for today. Those cool temperatures will continue on. Our meteorology service says many of those watches and warnings for cold temperatures last into tomorrow. But then things start to get a little better, maybe the temperatures in the teens and mid-20s towards the end of the week, and might even break 40 degrees by the time we get to Sunday in some places. So that's good news, but if you have to be outside today, please prepare for it. Bundle up. If you're driving, as Mom says, make sure you got a full tank of gas. Your cell phone is charged. And be safe out there today. Also, it is election day, primary election day. Todd, cut it close getting into the studios today, but I wanted to go vote because I want to make sure that I could come on the air today and say I'd voted. And of course, I'm not going to lie to you and make it up. So I cut it a little close, but I got in. It literally took me, I don't even know if it was 5 minutes to get in there, get my ballot, vote, and get out. And I got my little sticker this time around. They have a new sticker this time. It says, "Every vote matters." So I have my voting sticker on today. I was voter number 134 in my ward on the near south side of Madison about half an hour ago. Back in the producer-engineer chair today. He's feeling better. We're glad to have him back. Of course, always enjoy Sam Davidson when he steps in, but nothing better to have Mr. Zommers back in the chair. Welcome back, Mr. Zommers. How are you feeling?
Thank you, Todd. Feeling a lot better. Really? I had a swollen throat over the weekend. Ooh. And lymph nodes on only the left side were really swelling up really big, making it like painful to swallow. And I was like, I should probably see a doctor now that it's getting difficult to swallow. Yeah. But then today, after sleeping basically all day yesterday and a lot the days before, I feel much better. And most importantly, I am no longer contagious, so I'm good to be in the office.
That's what I'm very happy to hear. Well, no, I'm happy to hear you're better. My grandma Allball used to say, I think you were just done in. Just done in and you needed some rest.
But now we're good.
Good for you. Glad to have you back again. Many thanks for Sam Davidson for stepping in, but great to have Zommers back in the chair. You have not voted yet today.
Correct. I'm going to after the show.
All right. Very good. And then Zommers, I'll be back a little bit later this evening as a big night tonight here on Civic Media. We're going to be covering the Wisconsin biennial budget message from the governor. Of course, he had his State of the State
last month. This focuses on the biennial budget. Not only that, it only happens once every other year. So it's the biennial budget. We will cover that live along with Dan Schaefer is going to be along helping me. He's actually going to be at the Capitol a block away, giving us live reports from the state capitol and then joining us here at the anchor desk a block away afterwards. So Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor, will be here tonight along with me. I think we also have current Democratic State Senator Kelda Royce, who is on the Joint Finance Committee. And we have former Republican State Senator Rob Coles from the Green Bay area. They're both going to be joining us amongst other guests. And I believe maybe the Lieutenant Governor as well, Sarah Rodriguez. So big lineup tonight. Looking forward to that. And then, of course, we will have continuing coverage tonight after the polls close at 8 p.m. We will be along with Wisconsin Decides 2025. Again, the big race across the state is for school superintendent. You have Brittany Kinzer, the Republican-backed candidate, challenging incumbent Democrat Jill Underley and also Democrat Jeff Wright. And so two of those three we'll go on to the April 1st general election. Also a big mayoral primary up in La Crosse. Our own Jimmy Cuska is following that race. And also in Mauston, for those that don't know, a smaller town or city, 10,000 plus or minus, maybe a little bit fewer than that. Anyway, just maybe 40 minutes north of Wisconsin Dells. And Mauston School District has gone to referendum at least twice, maybe three times. They're going back to referenda today to Mauston voters in Juneau County. And school officials, school board is saying if this one does not pass, they're going to have to consolidate and dissolve the current Mauston School District, which would be losing a lot of identity for the county seat in Juneau County. So we'll be watching that school referendum amongst many others. So invite you all along tonight. Should be a great day and evening here at Civic Media. Speaking of that, at 12:30, our very own Luke Mathers is going to be joining us here for a little Tuesday Tangents with Lukester. And I'm very excited in hour two, what's worse today, having to do with one of my huge loves of life, passionate about it, coffee. So tune in for that.
Certainly one of Todd's favorite things.
This today's what's worse is perhaps the easiest what's worse for me that we've ever had.
And I'm thinking we agree.
Probably. So we'll be on that as well. Big news day today, of course, just after we got off the air yesterday, that breaking news in Toronto as a Delta regional jet left the Minneapolis airport and flew to Toronto, had to downplay it would be a hard landing, better characterized, I think, as a crash. But miraculously, this plane, if you've seen the video, it looked like it just had a overtly hard landing. It appears the landing gear was out. Investigators are going to have to find out. There were reportedly 40-mile-an-hour winds, but this plane just crashes right into the runway and then flips over. Both the wings and the tail break off, but the fuselage remains intact. It started on fire. Fire crews got there and started dousing it right away with fire suppressant. And thanks to the fantastic crew and the passengers, every single person on that plane was able to walk away. There are a couple of people who at last check were still listed in critical condition, but so far, no fatalities. Absolutely miraculous.
Yeah, thank goodness, especially after some of the tragedies we've seen recently. It's obviously horrible to see a crash, but good to see that everybody is still around.
And I saw this morning, one of the passengers was being interviewed, and he said, they asked kind of what his big takeaway was on something like this. And he said for him, it was that we all became just one people. Nobody cared about who you voted for or what your skin color was or what religion you were. We were just all there to help each other get off that plane.
If only we could get that without having to go through a plane crash.
Yeah. I've talked about this program before. I mean, for a brief time after 9/11 in 2001, that was the sense across the entire United States of America. And it lasted, I don't know, a couple of months. but I mean, it's just, it's euphoric. And it proves that we are all capable of it. And then you have to ask yourself, including me, what prevents us from continuing that? To your point, Zommers, without tragedy.
Right. Right.
So, anyway, thankfully, everybody on that plane got off safely. That's, of course, the big news story. More nonsense continues out of Washington. Many more people being laid off there. We may get into that a little bit later with Luke Mathers. But I want to start today in our news stories with something much closer to home and much more impactful. Story today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Dan Bice. It was actually came out yesterday afternoon. Headline, an Elon Musk-backed group buys at least $670,000 of TV airtime to support Brad Schimmel. Story by Dan Bice says conservative Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel said just recently he was hoping conservative third-party groups would start buying up TV time in the state, quote, very soon. Ask and you shall receive, writes Bice. Now, this is tantamount. Remember when Trump was running the first time in 2016? Remember when in a news conference, he said, Russia, if you're listening, I'd check out Hillary's emails. You're telegraphing things. And this is how you get around the law, because it's illegal to solicit directly third-party money like this. But you could be at a press conference and say things like, you know, well, I really hope that some third party groups start, buying up ads very soon. That's telegraphing without technically breaking the law. So back to this article, Bice says, ask and you shall receive. Federal records show building America's future. Doesn't that sound nice? Building America's future. An Elon Musk-backed dark money group began buying TV time in Wisconsin on Monday. The ads are expected to be in support of conservative Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel, who is running against liberal Supreme Court candidate Susan Crawford in the high-stakes April 1st election. The conservative nonprofit has already purchased more than $670,000 of airtime for the next 2 weeks. Over $750,000 for 2 weeks on TV stations throughout the state, according to Federal Communication Commission. That includes $255,000 in the Milwaukee market, $136,000 in Madison, and $104,000 in Green Bay, plus lesser amounts in La Crosse and Wausau. Building America's Future commercials are scheduled to begin airing Thursday, and run through March 5th. The amount of the group's buy is expected to rise in upcoming days. Also purchasing airtime on Monday was Fair Court America, a super PAC largely funded by Republican mega donor Richard Uihlein. His wife, Elizabeth Uihlein, has already donated $650,000 to the state Republican Party, money that was transferred to Schimmel's campaign. Another loophole, for those that might not be familiar, how to get around, see, there are caps on how much an individual can contribute to a candidate. But it turns out an individual can contribute as much as you want to a party. And then that party can transfer that same money right into the candidate's coffers. See how that works? As the church lady said over the weekend of the 50th anniversary of SNL, well, isn't that convenient?
Next up, we're going to fast forward to Thursday's show, where Todd was in Hayward, Wisconsin for the 51st American Burger Biner. Stay tuned.
It's the All Ball Show, back with Zommers on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Officials in Little Chute have removed more than 90 dead ducks from a storm pond, the likely culprit, bird flu. That comes after hundreds of rare red-breasted mergansers were found either dead or sick along Lake Michigan. Meantime, Wisconsin will start sampling milk at dairy farms to test for the virus. Fears that protections for our Great Lakes and more will be on the chopping block after EPA Director Lee Zeldin announced plans to cut the agency by 65%. The EPA oversees bedrock safeguards like the Clean Water Act, Safe Drinking Water Act, and Clean Air Act. It's unclear how those protections will remain enforced if deep cuts happen. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for sticking with us in the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. This is from Thursday's show, where Todd was in Hayward for the 51st Annual Birkebeiner, a great ski race. Here, he encountered a family so dedicated to the culture around this race that one of the people is actually named Burke. Give it a listen.
Hayward, Wisconsin at the 51st Annual American Birkebeiner. Along with Big G, I'm Todd here. Zahmer's back at the home studio back in Madison. What an absolutely beautiful day, Big G. And you found us some guests here.
Crowd some folks here and pull them over to the pickup truck here. And looks like there's some pretty... active skiers here in Burke, so we were curious at how their experience was, and they can tell us a little bit about themselves.
Yeah, we'll start with the closest one and go down. You guys all have Burke hats on. You all have ribbons and medals here. We're going to start with each of your names first. So tell us your name, please.
Gemma.
All right.
I'm Chloe.
I'm Finn.
All right. Very good. Where are you guys from?
We're from Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm from Richland Center, but I came up from Madison. Did you guys all ski today?
Yeah, we did. We did the half kilometer.
Really? And was this your first year doing it?
Yeah.
All right.
It was our first year.
Was this your first year as well? All right. And you?
Yes, first year.
All right.
Wow.
And have you guys skied? How long have you been skiing before?
We've been downhill skiing for like a very long time, but then cross-country skiing, we kind of just started, like, last year.
Wow. And how did you do today?
I did really good.
Good for you!
Oh, that's
great. Was it exciting? That's awesome. And for you, did you enjoy it as well, Finn?
I got first.
Holy
cow.
Holy cow, give me five. Nicely done.
All right.
We have a first place winner. This is your first year?
Yes.
Wow. Would you think that you might want to continue this and continue to do it?
Yeah, next year I'm going to do the 3 kilometer.
Three kilometer. I talked to a guy before we went on the air. He said he was almost 90, and he had done the Birkebeiner for 30 years. Isn't that crazy?
Our Poppy right here, he's 70, and he's done it. This is his 40th Berkey this year.
Out. Is that a fact?
Yeah.
That's great. What's your name, sir?
Scott Cooper.
That's great. And you've been doing...
I'm Poppy to these guys.
Well, that's great.
That's important.
Are you doing the Birkebeiner this weekend then?
Yes, of course.
All right. That's how many years?
40.
40.
This is my son, Burke, B-I-R-K, and his wife, Kristen. Burke was born... I had to miss it that year. So that's why.
That's where the name came from.
You broke the streak.
Yeah. So my name's Burke, and so now, you know, the namesake, I kind of have to do it, you know?
Of course.
I am.
That is absolutely. You guys literally, is that your dad then?
Yeah.
And so he was named after the Birkebeiner.
Yes.
So you really had no choice but you had to participate, right?
Yeah.
Besides skiing, is there another favorite thing that you like about the Birkebeiner so far?
My favorite thing was that my brother won his first time.
Oh, all right.
How's that for family love? How cool is that that you're encouraging your brother like that? Is there any particular food you guys have had yet that you really liked?
Oh, the cookies.
And we're going to get donuts, and then we're going to go to a candy shop, and we're also going to get pizza for lunch.
Oh, boy.
And for you?
Yeah, for us.
All the food groups are
yes,
my favorites.
I agreed with Emma.
It's a great place to get. I was here last year, my first time. The food is fantastic. It's
okay.
Really good.
Good.
Did you guys see the dogs, the Burkey bark this morning?
No,
but our dad told us about it.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. Well, I thank you guys for stopping by, and thanks for taking the time. Congratulations to all of you for being winners.
Congratulations.
And thank you for coming. And congratulations. Number one, first place, your first year.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll see you in the Olympics, say, like in, you know, 20 years, something like that. That'd be pretty. You got your start right here in Hayward, Wisconsin. Well, have a great Birkenbeiner, everybody. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Yep, our pleasure. All right, look at that. Look at that. Now that's the kind of the fun that you have here at the American Birkenbeiner. You never know who you're going to run into. And right there, an entire family of first-time Birkenbein skeeters. And one of them gets first place.
Thanks a lot.
And the son's even named, Burke is named after the Birkenbeiner. That's fantastic. And I wouldn't say old man at all. You look like you're in fantastic shape. So thank you so much. Right there, G. I don't know if there, I think we should just end the show because I don't know what a better example of this event is than that family right there.
Yeah, that's called passion there. Yep.
Right?
Yeah, name your son there.
The only one you miss is the year your son is born. You have to name him Burke after the Birkenbeiner.
Yep.
Well, I think that's just fantastic. But
it
I think that for people who are listening, it doesn't matter whether you're Waukesha, Richland Center, Madison, Eau Claire, wherever you are today, Green Bay, come on up. I mean, it is beautiful out here right now.
You bet, yeah.
And we're right across from a kids' food court type of thing where there are outdoor activities. There's kids' food. So this is truly, Big G, a family event.
It is, yep. And the town's all decorated up. Businesses all got specials going on. So be sure and check out downtown Hayward.
Yeah, it's clearly our sponsors among them. But people connect with the food.
Oh, definitely. Yep, definitely, yep. People after my own heart.
Right? You and me both, my friend. And you walk up and down the street here. It is truly, even the stores have some of their doors open. You smell all of these great candy stores, like the kids were saying, the burgers, the pizza. I mean, this is really like a little mini Olympics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you bet. Yep, you bet.
It's just so fun, and a completely different vibe this year with the snow.
Definitely, yep. Definitely a completely different vibe, different ambiance. Yep, you bet.
No, so glad that we were able to be up here and bring folks some of the sounds and sights and sounds. Just a couple of minutes here before the break, Big G. Anything that we haven't talked about, you want to make sure people know from you before you head out here?
Nope, I just want to say thanks to our big sponsors for our live broadcast on Saturday. I want to invite everybody out there that's listening to come on in, check out our studios right here in downtown, right downtown here. Right next to River and Rains right here in our studios there. We're going to have some cider and some refreshments there. Come on down and meet myself and Gray and some of our Super Civic Media staff down here. So invite everybody down. The whole weekend they got events going on. You can see there's a huge list of races today yet that are coming right through downtown Hayward here. And if you get a chance, get out to Cable and check out the track they got out there in Cable. And, just everybody enjoy the weekend. And, man. The Lord's blessed us with a beautiful weekend and got enough snow now so that the folks can enjoy both Cable and Hayward. So.
Yeah, you said it so well. We're awaiting the Junior Berkey here on the Main Street in Hayward. That starts at 1 o'clock. We'll be here for that. But stay with us. A quick update for the ag markets.
Up next, we're going to go to Wednesday's show where Trick V. Olson of the Lincoln Project joins Todd to reflect on Governor Evers' budget proposal.
It's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Big G.
Thank you, Todd.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has brought his Fighting Oligarchy Tour to Kenosha, Wisconsin.
What we've got now is a government of the billionaires, by the billionaires, for the billionaires. That's what oligarchy is about.
Two police officers shot in Newark, New Jersey, after a confrontation with a teenage suspect. CBS News New York reporter John Diaz.
Both officers were rushed to University Hospital. Authorities say one of them died.
There are reports the teenager also died. New Mexico's top health officials say actor Gene Hackman died from heart disease and advanced Alzheimer's, while his wife died a week earlier from the rare hantavirus.
The big question is, what transpired during that week? And the question is unanswered at this point.
CBS's Carter Evans says the bodies were discovered on February 26th. They were found in separate locations in the home. Also, one of the dogs was found dead inside a closet. CBS News Brief. I'm Lindy Kenyon.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the Orlando Magic tonight at Fiserv Forum. Then tomorrow night, they take on the team with the best record in the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Bucks have won 8 of their last 10 games since adding players at the trade deadline, like Kevin Porter Jr. and 6'9" Kyle Kuzma, Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
The guys that we have brought in have been really good. Just a great fit. Kuz is the ability to play so many positions and do so many things. Has just been really good for us. Been great for Giannis, you know, to have another big on the floor.
Women's college hockey, another win for the Badgers women's hockey team. They beat the Duluth Bulldogs 3-1. Casey O'Brien with her 80th goal of the season. That's the most in college hockey since 2018. So the Badgers now advance to the championship round tomorrow in the WCHA final face-off tournament being held in Duluth, Minnesota this weekend. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, a few flurries, then some sunshine. It'll be windy with a high around 46 degrees. Mostly clear tonight, a low of 27. Sunshine, 50 for Sunday. 61 and sunshine on Monday. Mostly sunny, mid-40s on Tuesday.
It's 24 right now.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding the citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded. In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the news of the weekend and also discuss Ukraine, why what's happening there matters here in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Sticking with us in the Best of the Todd Albaugh Show, here is Todd's discussion with Trigvi Olsen on Governor Evers' budget address.
From the frozen shores of Lake Kitchigoomee in Lake Superior, we're not going to be not too far from there tomorrow in Hayward, Wisconsin, all the way to the frozen shores of Lake Michigan off of Milwaukee to Green Bay, the Mississippi River, and everywhere in between. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 o'clock. Todd Albaugh, along with engineer and producer Aaron Zommers. And per usual, on a Wednesday, he is a River Falls boy, a native of Wisconsin, a mean hockey player, and like myself, a former Republican and now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Trigvi Olsen joins us from his home in our nation's capital. Many thanks to Pat Kreitlow for coming on today, as per usual. We always appreciate him as well. Talking a little bit, we're going to wrap this up and then move on to Ukraine. But I wanted just to kind of put a point on this Governor Evers' biennial budget address last night. look, he had some good substance in there. I'm not begrudging him that at all. But I guess I get so hung up on it because there are not a lot of things that I feel I do particularly well or have experience in. Speech writing happens to be one of them. And I guess it angers me because I've been in meetings with Governor Evers back when he was the DPI secretary with my boss, and he's a lovely person. He's a sincere person. He's a serious person. And he can actually be pretty funny in private. I just don't feel the people around him are serving him well and representing him across the state.
The way I see it, the biggest issue is that whoever is doing his speech writing and preparing him for these things, even if he's not that great a speaker, they're not preparing him for the moment we live in today where politics are reality TV. It does not matter if you have good substance in your speech. It matters if you make a good TikTok out of it.
That's a great point, Zomers. And one of our callers on the line says, speech is also to create bites for radio and other media. Evers just seems to be getting tired of the job. So to your point, Zomers, you're right. A lot of, and people can say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, it doesn't. But that's the reality of the media that we live in today. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go out to beautiful Los Angeles and L.A. Tom. L.A., I know you're a Wisconsin native yourself, but boy, the weather I'm sure is nicer out here. It is frigid in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's going to be 75 here today, so that'll be nice.
Good for you. What do you got?
Yeah. All right. So honestly, I thought Tony's speech was brilliant. I felt like he's someone that understands the average person in Wisconsin. I thought he took away the whole idea of tax cuts from the Republicans. I thought that if Tony were anything different than what Tony is, which is just a dull kind of person, it wouldn't work with him being anything different. He is very, very dull. And I think that that's one way that the right wing really can't go after him, because he doesn't really bring about excitement either way. And I think that that's one of the reasons why he's been successful, especially when you had such a zealot like Scott Walker, that the Wisconsin people just kind of got, I think, tired of the whole, partisan politics. And I think Tony just kind of is someone that gets Wisconsin. He's a grandpa. Mm-hmm. He understands education. He is someone that, cares about his wife. He's someone that is just kind of a good man, I think. And I think that's what a lot of people look at him as.
No,
I don't think
you get no argument.
He's not a fire breather.
But
a fire breather.
And I appreciate that, but Tony, Zomers, keep me honest. I think I complimented his speech in the last month of the State of the State. I said, you know what? For him, that was a pretty good speech. And so he has the ability to do that. I guess as I listen to you, L.A., I think you're – thanks for the therapy on the radio live. I think part of the reason I'm so ticked off today – it's because I want a Democrat to be a leader. I want to be inspired. What's happening in D.C. right now, I'm looking for somebody to say, yes, that's my person that I can get behind. And while he's everything that you said, kind, nice, authentic, all those things, it's just not inspiring. And I guess maybe I'm too much of a whatever. Maybe that's too much to ask. But I appreciate your call, L.A. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. Trigvy?
No one's going to dispute that Tony Evers is a nice guy. Like, he's the guy you want as your high school social studies teacher. He's the guy you want as your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I make the point on this show all the time. If I could move back to Wisconsin and had Tony Evers as my neighbor on the left and Robin as my neighbor on the right, I'd be in pretty good stead in terms of my neighbors, not maybe so much in terms of them getting along politically. But the bottom line is, I've said this before, like I'm less, and I think most people in Wisconsin, what they're really looking for is a cheerleader for the state, somebody who's, and yes. Tommy Thompson was that, Jim Doyle was that in a different way. It doesn't mean that you can't be that. And somebody that's going to fight for the things that make Wisconsin great. And I don't think people in Wisconsin, I think people do in Wisconsin do to a degree get how special Wisconsin is, but I don't think they fully get that. And things like public education, the University of Wisconsin system, they're the hubs of our communities. We're good people who want to help their neighbors, whether they're MAGA or they're on the far left. And he needs to take that challenge straight at the people that are obstructing those core things, conservation.
Yeah, we didn't even get to the Warren Knowles.
They want somebody who's a cheerleader and a defender of our way of life.
Right, and the governor, to his credit, proposed extending the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund, and we're hearing now that Republicans want to do away with that. I mean, what?
Take it straight to them.
Right. Agreed. All right, our phones are lit up. We got to go quickly. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go up to Chippewa Valley. Gene in Eau Claire, listening to WCFW. Gene, always a pleasure. What say you?
Hi, guys. Great show as usual. But I have to say that I love this governor, and I've watched lots of governors. He's a workhorse, not a show horse. And it's up to the people, and it's up to people who represent us to be speaking out instead of just our governor, because he is working. I've never seen a governor on our side of the state very often. Boy, he's been over here filling potholes, doing lots of work, meeting with teachers, meeting with other people too, meeting with small business. I mean, the guy is great. What you see is what you get, and that's a guy who cares about the people. So I got, you know, I'm a big mouth, but I appreciate his quiet carrying a big stick. So thank you very much. You guys always have a good day, okay?
Appreciate you, Gene, as always.
Bye-bye.
You make a great,
thanks, Gene.
Thank you, Gene. She makes a great point. Evers has been every. I mean, he does get out there to his credit, and no, I think that's a great point. Let's go quickly to Rob in Port Edwards, 855-752-4842. Rob in Port Edwards, thanks for calling in. Rob, what say you?
Thank you, gentlemen. And I would mimic the young lady that called in from Chippewa. Truthfully, this gentleman does get it done, but in a different demeanor. He's not a gaslighter. He's not a hooter and a hollerer. But it doesn't mean that people aren't actually listening and following what he's doing and saying, and more of the doing part than the saying part. He's a man of action, and it's a breath of fresh air, with all due respect to Tommy Thompson and Jim Doyle and Mr. Walker. This guy's getting things done for the state, or certainly showing that he's trying to. Mm. So, yeah, don't. Speeches are one thing. Actions are an entirely different thing, and I'll take the actions any day. You have a good day, gentlemen.
Appreciate it, Rob. Thank you. Great call.
Yeah, thanks.
855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it at your Apple or Android device for free. Kimber, listening on WRCE in Richland Center, living in the beautiful town of Muscogee, the morel mushroom capital of the world. Kimber in Muscogee says, sad when being exciting is considered for voters voting, but nonetheless, I agree with you both. Also, we have Rob in Richland Center on WRCE says, I agree with L.A. Tom and Gene in Eau Claire. Well, there you go. And maybe, Trigvy, that's one of the reasons that Tony Evers continues to have the only major figure in Wisconsin, political figure that has a positive likability rating. Maybe in this era of sensationalism, maybe it's your nice grandpa who plays euchre with you. Maybe that's what people want in Wisconsin. Maybe that's why he has been reelected twice.
You can't, at the end of the day, it's about winning, baby. But the reality is, I think no one's disputing he's a nice guy. No one's disputing that he works hard. I just think that he could be more aggressive in dividing and conquering those, because there are, you know, 90 people, including Republicans, on that issue of expanding Medicaid, right? Mm-hmm. Like VadraCare, that are on his side. So divide and conquer. It's not tactical. There's an element of the strategic politics that Tony Evers could do a better job of. And I think that's where you and Pat agree but disagree.
A quarter till the hour, Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at Lincoln Project, joins me. Let's turn the page, Trigvi, go to some international issues now. But as you always point out, they come to roost here at home. Yesterday, President Donald Trump is talking, and now, and you keep me honest on this because you're the only person that I know who's been banned from Russia by Putin himself. But it would appear that Trump is literally using Russian Kremlin propaganda talking points and now blaming the president of Ukraine, Vladimir Zelensky, and Ukrainians for starting this war when we know factually it was Russia who was the aggressor, unprovoked, who attacked Ukraine. And Trump sending out misinformation yesterday on his Truth Social and X Twitter, saying that Zelensky has suspended elections as an unelected person with an all-time popularity rating of 4% in his country, which is factually wrong, incorrect, a lie. Last credible polling in Ukraine had Zelensky at 52% popularity, which is actually higher than Trump.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say about it. I'm old enough to remember when we had people like Reagan and George H.W. Bush and George Bush who understood that you have to meet aggression with strength. There is no doubt the Russians invaded Ukraine. Ukraine did not attack Russia. I just think I don't understand it other than think about the things that Donald Trump has been talking about. Is it going to be, if he decides to send the 101st Airborne to Greenland, is that going to be the Danish attacked us and we had to invade Greenland? Or I just think it's a worldview that is incredibly dangerous. There is an element of this that is not dissimilar to what we had in 38 with Neville Chamberlain and appeasing, you know, Hitler and what that led to in Europe. The Europeans are panicked about it and justifiably so. And this will have repercussions eventually for people in the United States. It just will.
I'd be interested to hear.
It's sad. It makes me sad. It's not the kind of thing that it is literally the antithesis of the world that the Greatest Generation built and handed off to us. And quite frankly, those of us who are Gen X, those who are baby boomers, really should take a hard look at what kind of world we're leaving for our kids, because it's not the world that we inherited from the Greatest Generation. And we should all collectively feel a sense of guilt and remorse for what we're doing. And we're not leaving the country or the world.
I'd be interested to hear what our listeners think of this, just in terms of Ukraine and a sovereign people who were attacked by Putin. Somebody who is a war criminal. He can't even travel the world. There's a reason they're having these meetings in Saudi Arabia, because if he lands in most places in the world, he'd be arrested for his war crimes against Ukraine. And yet the president of the United States is going to fly to Saudi Arabia to have a dialogue with this guy. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We'll take your phone calls when we come back. Trigvi Olson, Todd Allball, Aaron Zommer. This is the Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up next, we'll finish the rest of this conversation.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is flawed about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is flawed about that law?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that law?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for sticking with us in the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show for this week. Here we're going to finish up Todd's conversation with Trigvi on the Wisconsin budget and get in a little commentary about Trump's comments on Ukraine. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock. 99 loaf balloons. Sommers, what do we dial up there? That was the German version, right?
Yep, the German version. Yep, you said it. 99 Luftballons.
Very good.
We got the 80s back, baby.
80s alive right here on the Allbaugh Show. Coming up in hour two, a little what's worse for you. Today's edition having to do with pet peeves around the house. Now, maybe Trigvi should stick around because I bet you his lovely and talented wife or his daughters have complained about one of these two things about him before.
Probably, but
what are they?
Should we tell you now?
Why don't we tell them?
All right. Yeah.
What's worse, leaving lights on or leaving the dishes in the sink?
Oh, I thought it was going to be about toilets. not dishes in the sink would okay. be what I get.
All right, more often,
for.
Yeah. All right, we'll more of that after the 1 o'clock hour. What's worse coming up in hour number two. Tomorrow we're going to be live from Hayward at the American Birkenbeiner. Looking forward to having Trigvi Olsen fly out and join us outside for 2 hours in 10-degree weather. That'll be great. Yeah. It's part of what makes Wisconsin great, Trigvi.
Dick's Sporting Goods, Todd.
Is that where you got your heated vest?
Electric gear.
All right, I got
to
go.
No, Amazon, but you can go to Dick's Sporting Goods.
All right, maybe Farm and Fleet here in town. I'll check
sure
that out.
Oh,
you can go to Cabela's, like any of those places.
We'll talk more about Todd's clothing in a
Isn't
minute.
Isn't there a big Cabela's just outside of Madison?
Yeah, it's in Sun Prairie.
Yeah, right.
All right,
just
maybe I'll go there.
Go there. They got plenty of heated gear. Come deer hunting season, too.
Exactly. Talking about what's happening in Ukraine right now, President Trump now blaming Ukraine for the conflict that is patently false. It is a lie. We know that Russia, completely unprovoked, launched the attack 3 years ago. And now Trump is icing Vladimir Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, out so far of negotiations to end the war that Ukraine had nothing to do in starting. What are your thoughts on this? 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Tom calling in from beautiful Florida. What is it today with all these people calling from warm locations? I love it, though. Tom, hope you're staying warm down there. What say you?
Well, Trump and Putin are meeting in secret to carve up Ukraine, but leaks are already emerging. Reliable sources say that Trump is conceding everything to Putin except what matters most. The country's new name will be Trump Crane. Trump Crane. What a beautiful name.
No one else has any name like it.
He reportedly considered changing Ukraine to Meekraine, but then he realized that Trump Crane has a beautiful ring to it, and it's appropriate as he gives Trump Crane's rare earth minerals to his billionaire buddies.
That's pretty good, Tom. I mean, that's the way to get just placate him, right? If they would just give him, you know, make it all about him, he would be more likely to be on their side. That's good stuff. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Mark, listening to Prayer to Sack. Mark, thanks for calling. Let's see you.
Well, there's plenty of warmth in my home right now. Where I always put the toilet seats down, even though I am single male. I'm basking in the glow of my Labrador's warmth.
Oh, that's great.
For me but I mean, it is just ridiculous what's going on. Trump talking about this for Ukraine. It's just a complete lie. And unless Fox News and the rest of the conservative media just call it out for what it is just a complete lie. I mean, Trump is probably getting revenge because they didn't, you know, Zelensky didn't help Trump out and find a sort of a fake investigation of Joe Biden and his son in Ukraine about that. That's what he's still probably galled about. And for Donald Trump is just, he's more or less sold us out. I mean, I can remember, you know, Ronald Reagan is just, he's probably spun out of his grave by this point in time. I mean, I thought it was unhelpful to continue to call the USSR, the evil empire, even though they were. I didn't know if that was particularly helpful, but I mean, it is just disgusting that Donald Trump and the Republicans are not calling him out on this.
Yeah.
How these people can sleep at night doing this kind of thing is just, it's beyond me. It's you know, Marco Rubio should know better. All the Republicans should know better.
He does know better.
They do know. That's the piece. They do know better. And when the door is closed, they're saying as much. That's the part that's most disheartening about it.
Yeah.
And they got to grow. They have to grow a set. I mean, the fact that all our Republican legislatures in the state house and in Washington aren't calling this out for what it is, that just a lie, is just it yeah. shows the moral cowardice that these people have.
Yeah.
Just a complete subservience to Donald Trump and to the lie. I mean, it is yeah. just pure and simple a lie. I mean,
thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Trigby, before we let you go, I want to get your quick take on this DPI race, Department of Public Instruction race. It was Dr. Jill Underley for the Democrats coming through last night, and Brittany Kinzer, the Republican-backed candidate. Robin Voss, the Republican Party, shimming, have put a lot of money, third-party money, into Kinzer. She came through last night. We had a story yesterday from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, an Elon Musk-backed group now putting in nearly $1 million in 2 weeks for TV airtime in Wisconsin for the Supreme Court race. Do you think that the race for Supreme Court is directly tied? I just don't see this being a split vote. I think if Schimmel wins, I think Kinzer, the Republican for DPI, wins.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the Supreme Court race will drive the DPI race. That's solid. Can I just circle back, though, on one thing
sure.
as it relates to Trump, Ukraine, and what context people need to put it in?
You got 50 seconds.
So there's going to be a hockey game. There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed by our neighbors, by the Canadians, because of what is being said. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, "I'm taking your backyard." Like, even if they weren't serious, you would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends. Period.
That is
and
so well put.
And that matters.
That's all for the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show this week. Thanks for giving it a listen. And as always, if you want to hear the rest of this week's shows, you can go to civicmedia.us or anywhere you find your podcasts. And as Todd always says, whatever you do, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you on Monday.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Pat Kreitlow. I'm practicing my quiet voice because Monday is my wife's birthday and she's sleeping in. One of the occupational hazards of trying to do a radio show from home.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Linda Kenyon. President Trump says he is strongly considering sanctions on banking as well as tariffs against Russia until a ceasefire and peace agreement is reached with Ukraine.
In terms of getting a final settlement, it may be easier dealing with Russia, which is surprising because they have all the cards.
The president has paused military aid and intelligence sharing with Ukraine. This has helped create an opening for Russia to launch its massive air and drone attacks overnight that killed at least 20 people. The BBC's James Waterhouse reports from Kyiv.
Ukraine's ability to defend against these kind of attacks directly hampered by America's pausing of military aid, intelligence, and now satellite imagery, which enabled defending troops to map these kind of attacks and identify the locations of Russian troops.
President Trump has called the ongoing drone and missile attacks unacceptable. This is the first time he has spoken critically of Russia since it invaded Ukraine more than 3 years ago. He has already been critical of Ukraine, especially of its president, Volodymyr Zelensky. The ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is perilously close to collapsing as food shortages have grown extreme. CBS's Deborah Potter reports desperately needed food aid is not making its way into Gaza.
United Nations human rights experts have criticized Israel for resuming what they call weaponized starvation and have urged international mediators to intervene and uphold the truce.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders brought his Fighting Oligarchy tour to Kenosha, Wisconsin last night, urging a cheering crowd not to accept oligarchy, authoritarianism, and kleptocracy, a government by people who use their power to steal their country's resources. Sheila Warren attended the rally.
People are losing their jobs. They're losing their stability. They're losing their ability to afford food. And if things go the way they are, people like me who are disabled, where is that going to leave me?
Sanders says President Trump and his administration are pushing through massive tax breaks for the wealthiest 1%, while they cut Medicaid, nutrition programs, and education to pay for those cuts.
We're here to make it clear that we're going to fight back and we are going to win.
New Mexico's top health officials have released the cause of death for actor Gene Hackman. Hackman's wife died a week earlier.
They say he died from advanced heart disease with complications related to advanced Alzheimer's disease. And exactly what transpired during that tragic week, we may never know.
CBS's Carter Evans reports Hackman's wife died from a rare case of hantavirus. Both bodies were found February 26th in separate rooms. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.